You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
There's all these people who are woke, but now even the woke, like Stacey Abrams, are starting to see, oh no, what have I unleashed? Just lost my state $100 million in revenue. Stacey Abrams and the Democrats cost Georgia $100 million in revenue because they complained about something they didn't read, and they said about it that wasn't true.
Yes, he's absolutely right. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. This is April 6, 2021. Stacey Abrams and all the rest of the woke crowd in Georgia and all around the nation that never even read the Georgia law just jumped on the lies as it was peddled to them. Georgia's trying to disenfranchise minorities, not going to let them vote. You're going to starve and die of thirst on the voting line because you can't give them any water. And it's just wrong. It's just going to be so bad and terrible. So let's put pressure on Georgia. What can we do to put pressure on Georgia? Dollars. So the woke cancel culture rushed forward. And even President Biden went along with it. He was asked, what do you think about maybe Major League Baseball moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta, Georgia, somewhere else because of the Georgia election law passed by Republicans? I think it'd be a good idea. It could be a good idea. I'm not telling, but it could be. He bought into it. And hours after he made that statement, suddenly MLB says, yeah, we're yanking it. We're taking it out of Georgia. And we're going to move it to Denver. Denver, Colorado. Yanking that game out of Georgia at this point, as you heard Senator Rand Paul say, is costing the state of Georgia $100 million. And most of that money would have been spent to help those who are service industries, concessionaires at the ballpark and waitresses and cleaning maids and so forth at various hotels. 8,000-plus rooms canceled overnight. Once they knew the game wasn't going to be there, they canceled the rooms. And if we had not been in the midst of COVID, it would have been massive. It would have been even bigger, maybe three, four times that amount because of all the restrictions. A lot of folks aren't going, or when they go, can they get in the stadium, all this stuff. So it wiped out a lot of that out and more based on a lie that the Georgia new election laws will make people stand in line until they drop dead without any water. That is not right. We did it yesterday. We'll go through it again. They, first of all, can bring their own water and food if they think they're going to be out there that long. And secondly, the poll watchers can make sure that water is provided in a receptacle nearby or give it to them. They're trying to stop anyone that might come up and offer something for someone in exchange, basically, for a vote. So I'm here to help you, and candidate so-and-so sent this. We appreciate your vote. You cannot electioneer. You know that within, depending on the state, the city, or whatever the laws are, anywhere from 100 feet to 200 feet within the polls, you know electioneering. You see it every time you go in to vote, assuming you do vote. So now Major League Baseball pulling out of Georgia, you know what they're doing by going to Denver. First of all, taking out of Georgia. Georgia city is predominantly black, and it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt them. And they're going to Colorado where predominant whites. Does that not sound like a reverse cancel culture that they totally messed up? Yeah. Well, we obviously have a lot to speak about that. And to that extent, Texas Governor Abbott had said yesterday he was supposed to throw out the first pitch at the Texas Rangers home opener. But because MLB is pushing this false narrative about the Georgia election reform and moving its game, he said, I cannot go out there and throw that first pitch for the Texas Rangers. I'm looking forward to, but that would have been doing something absolutely ridiculous. He said, they've already done something ridiculous. I'm not going to add to it by coming out there and throwing the pitch. And a lot of folks said, turned away, said, I'm done with baseball now. You destroyed that sport as well. What about you? And then you also have, speaking about the Texas Ranger, Dr. Fauci saying, oh, you got to be concerned about the Texas Ranger Stadium. I mean, the COVID spreader. Fauci, south of the ball game park, down along the border, is where we have thousands of illegals coming across. And that is a super spreader event at the border. And you said yesterday, and you're going to hear it again, folks, that's not my job. That's my, I don't need to go to the border. That's not my job. Your job is either to help protect this nation from COVID wherever it originates, or you're not, or you're a farce, or both. We got a lot to cover in the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know, even your enemies know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we have this issue going on, of course, with the MLB yanking the game out of Atlanta because they don't like the Georgia voting law. Well, we also, of course, have a concern about COVID. Still, at these games, even if you're going to go, some folks have decided, enough, I'm not going to anyway. But Dr. Fauci made a point, and I want to share it with you because the bare fact that he wants to be so concerned about what you're going to hear in a moment versus his attitude as to what's happening at the border, it's absolutely, I said yesterday, it's not just negligent. It's criminal. Listen.
Everybody has COVID-19 fatigue and wants to get back to normality. You know, you see the pictures of the Texas Rangers Stadium essentially crowded. We don't want to declare victory prematurely because we have a virus out there now, this variant that spreads really quite efficiently. And if you pull back on masking and avoiding congregate setting, you're really taking a pretty big risk.
We're taking a really big risk if we pull back on if we pull back right now on masking and restrictions and things like that. But while we're in the process of having to be locked down all the time and we have to play by certain rules and folks have lost their jobs, businesses have closed, folks that own the businesses losing so much money they'll never reopen again. And folks are having a hard time making their rent. Many of them have been protected for a while, but now a lot of the eviction notices are being withdrawn across the nation. So now they're going to have to be possibly tossed out because they don't have a job. They got shut off, and the landlords that they're in, you have to consider they've got to meet their ends too. They got mortgage companies bringing down their neck that they'll come in and take all their property if they don't get. So everybody is caught in this mess. And of course, it's all traceable to the COVID China flu. So here's Dr. Fauci now serving, of course, as the chief medical advisor to President Biden, referenced COVID. And you just heard him say that, well, you look at the Texas Rangers. I know we all have fatigue. We want to put an end to it. We want to move forward. We just want to turn our back on it. He said, I understand. We're all in that situation. But you got to keep in mind, he said, this is not time. This is not time. We had the COVID fatigue. You got to continue wearing your mask. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to go any farther. I want to go back to something that he said on March 8th in a CBS 60 Minutes interview, March 8th of last year. And granted, we were just beginning to learn about COVID. But the guy you just heard say, you got to keep the mask. And remember, he's even preached maybe wearing two masks. Let me remind you what he said on March 8th of 2020 in a CBS 60 Minutes interview.
There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection.
No, not providing the perfect protection. In other words, you don't need no stinking mask. That's what he said March 2020. Now, you go to the ball game. You're sitting outside in the ball game. You got to wear a mask, maybe two masks. Got to practice all this social distancing. And again, Dr. Fauci wants you to understand, I'm not trying to scare you.
I'm not trying to scare anybody. What we're saying is that we make recommendations based on scientific evidence and data. Because what you want to do is give the American people the information they need to make choices. And you make a recommendation. I don't think anyone would consider me a scaremonger. I've never been that way at all. So when we talk about wearing a mask, not wearing a mask, doing this or not doing that, we like it to be based on evidence and data. And that's the way I have guided anything I've said for now the last 40 years. Nothing has changed.
Right. Nothing has changed. I'm not trying to scare you. It's fear-mongering, and a lot of folks or overly frightened, some legitimately, and some maybe taking too many risks with themselves or their families. That's going to be some of their personal decision-making. And in the beginning, we did not know. We were totally confused. I mean, we were getting lies from the World Health Organization, supposed to look out for the entire world, and it was peddling China's lie that, no, there's no problem here, when they had locked their own citizens down. They would not let them leave Wuhan. They canceled any flight from Wuhan to Beijing, the capital. Why? Because we don't want COVID coming into our capital. And they were even, in some reports, they were welding shut doors of residents in Wuhan so they couldn't get out. Hope they had a good supply on board. Maybe if they knew it was coming, it's like folks in the Midwest and elsewhere, you hear a big snowstorm coming, suddenly everybody's after bread and milk. What are you going to make, French toast? I don't know what your plan is. Maybe they didn't get that chance. And, of course, then there were stories that some of the scientists that were trying to get the word out and speak out, they disappeared. Or they fell out of a fifth-story window. You got too close and just fell. Dr. Fauci is as complicit as anyone else for our confusion about what's going on. So there's no doubt and understanding and that he has lost all credibility. When he told us in March 8 of 2020, you don't need a mask. It's not going to do you any good. It might stop a droplet, but you don't need it. And then he reverses that before the end of last year. And now talking about double mask. He's had the vaccine. He's still wearing a double mask. Now, granted, the vaccines, we've been told, none are going to be 100% effective. I accept that. And if you get your vaccine, you still want to wear a mask for a time, that's up to you. But right now, we apparently are going to allow, and businesses to basically tell you, come in, you got to have a mask on. And how long is that going to go on? We'll see. But then back to the issue of Dr. Fauci as he's talking about the Texas Rangers and their game. He said, you have to look. He said, you know, all these people at that game, you know, you could have some real problems with the COVID spreading. We're not out. We have fatigue, I understand, but we just can't do that right now. We just can't. And I'm so concerned about it. And again, along our border, we've got thousands coming across, not even being tested, that we're letting into the country. And those we test, we're finding a minimum of 10% of any group that has COVID, and we're still letting them go into the country. And when Senator Lindsey Graham said, Dr. Fauci, you need to go down the border. You need to see the situation firsthand. Dr. Fauci's response is, not my job, man. He said it exactly this way. Obviously, it's a very difficult situation, the border. We all know that. The administration is trying as best they can to alleviate that situation. Having me down at the border, that's really not what I do. So you don't care about all this coming across. We're going to be joined later in this hour with Laura Reese, Director of Center and Senior Research Fellow, Homeland Security Heritage Foundation. 23 years experience in immigration, Homeland Security arena. And you're going to want to hear her take on these folks coming across, not only the issue of COVID, but how many terrorists might be coming across. The New York Post said just today, two men from Yemen who were on the FBI terror watch list. You want me to repeat again? Two men from Yemen on the FBI terrorist watch list were arrested at our southern border, trying to mix in with Central American and Mexican people who are trying to come across. Just kind of, you know, kind of look in, mix in. The folks from Yemen aren't green. They're not purple. They're a shade of brown. And so they can do that until somebody questions and stops them. These guys were on a no-fly list. They were not going to be able to fly into the country, but now they come to the border. And I have asked repeatedly, and I ask again, how many terrorist cells do you think we are setting up in our nation right now because of the attitude of the Biden administration and all the leftists to open the border? We don't need no stinking border, no border security. Let them all come. Well, Lori's going to get into that with us a little bit later. And I mentioned earlier, reference the Texas Rangers game. Texas Governor Abbott was supposed to toss out the first pitch. He said, I didn't want to do it because the Major League Baseball League is engaged in political malpractice by pushing a false narrative about the Georgia election reform, and I'm not going to be part of that. I'm not going to step forward and agree with them. And you know what else he said? All this talk about maybe a vaccine passport. Yeah, we keep hearing it. And yes, there are some countries in Europe that already have it, and some have had, in some areas, medical passports before you go in, that you have to have certain series of shots. We have to make sure anybody traveling does have those or they're going into those countries. Not necessarily for vaccine, I mean, for a passport ID, but for their own sake, to be quite honest. And the state of Hawaii is already considering if you're going to come into Hawaii, you're going to have a vaccination passport. Well, Governor Abbott in Texas said, not in my state.
Every day, Texans return to normalcy as more people get the COVID vaccine. In fact, this week, Texas will surpass 13 million doses administered. Those shots help slow the spread of COVID, reduce hospitalizations, and reduce fatalities. But, as I have said all along, these vaccines are always voluntary and never forced. Government should not require any Texan to show proof of vaccination and reveal private health information just to go about their daily lives. That is why I issued an executive order that prohibits government-mandated vaccine passports in Texas. We will continue to vaccinate more Texans and protect public health. And we will do so without treading on Texans' personal freedoms.
Good, good. Texas Governor Abbott. Florida Governor DeSantis had already said, we're not going to require passports come into our state, vaccine passports. They could do that, but then here's where the push is going to come. You watch. At some point, there will be a push on Biden to do one of those executive order things again. Put a piece of paper in front of him, say, sign this. Just sign it. Okay. Do you remember the TV show MASH? I know some of you did. If you saw coming up next, MASH. Some of you know that inside joke. Bottom line is, in that TV show, the guy called Radar, who basically was the assistant to the general, often was doing papers and just shoving in front of them and just saying, sign this. And the general really never knew what he signed, so they put a lot of paper in front of him that gave leave and so forth to others who wouldn't have gotten in otherwise. So I don't doubt that at some point they're just going to put a piece of paper in front of Joe Biden and say, sign this, and he will. And it would be an executive order demanding federal passport vaccination proof to go anywhere in this nation. HIPAA is supposed to protect your health information, but if that comes out, no, your information, something's already going to be made direct. And by the way, with all this lockdown and trying to make sure everyone is protected, one of the states that had a strict lockdown has an amazing, frightening number of COVID-19 cases. Stand by, please.
Story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, let me add some notes. I reference a national passport. As you heard in the preceding segment, Texas Governor Abbott, by his executive order, said you will not have to have or show a vaccination passport to come into Texas. Florida Governor DeSantis has said the same thing. Hasn't signed off on executive order that I know, but either way, he said it's not going to happen here either. Well, the White House trying to stay ahead a little bit, now saying from Jen Psaki, the Biden administration will not support a system requiring Americans to carry so-called COVID-19 vaccine passports. She said, let me be very clear on this. I know there have been a lot of questions. The government is not now, nor will we be supporting a system that requires Americans to carry such a credential. Adding, there will be no federal vaccinations database, no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential. Do you believe this? Well, she also added, as these tools are being considered by private and non-private sectors, our interest is very simple from the federal government. Americans' privacy and rights should be protected. These systems are not to be used against people unfairly. This is what they say today. Today. A few days ago, they're saying, we're not going to have a federal, but we know companies and corporations are moving to that, so we will assist them in coming up with the dictate and the rules that they want to put in place. And I told you then, if they are assisting private enterprise to set up a passport, you know damn well the government's going to do it the next point around. But Dr. Fauci, since we want to trust him, the chief medical advisor, also saying the government will not mandate vaccine passports. Oh, yes, that is the same Dr. Fauci that March 8, 2020 said, you don't need no stinking mask, it won't really do you any good anyway. Which one do you want to believe? Dr. Heckle Jide, whatever. And in the meantime, one of the states that was under severe lockdown, I mean, it was just crippling. And it continued well beyond where some were able to open up. That would be the Michigan, the Wolverine state. Michigan has now surpassed 700,000 total COVID cases. As of today, averaging more than 450 cases per 100,000 residents over the last 7 days, according to CDC. New York Times list of top 10 cities where the outbreak is the worst includes 7 cities in Michigan. Well, Governor Whitmer was doing all this cracking down and not going to let this happen, lockdown, so forth. If you had a home out on the lake around Michigan, you could not leave wherever you were in Michigan and drive to your home. No, you had to stay where you were. Although the governor and some of her people, they went where they wanted to, when they want to, as normally leftist progressives would do. Don't do as I do as I say. And, of course, they had the same thing, obviously, in California with Governor Newsom going up to the Laundry, which is a fancy restaurant in Napa Valley, when he was telling everybody else, stay in place, don't be traveling around, don't gather. And not only was he there, but he had several lobbyist members of the medical associations supposedly involved in helping him deal with COVID and everything. They were all there, too. You realize how many of them are laughing behind their doors, joking, looking at you and say, these people, we're going to push them all the way, and they're just going to roll over and accept it because we're going to put fear into them. And again, legitimately, you need to be concerned about COVID. At some point, you're going to have to say, I'm going to live my life, especially after you get the vaccine. After I get the vaccine, I'm not going to wear. I don't want to wear the mask anymore. Well, if you go in some places that require it, you're going to face, well, either you will or you won't. And Dr. Fauci was asked the other day, and he quickly said, no, I didn't say it exactly that way. That was reference that we might have to wear the mask into 2022. And he said, I think maybe by this summer. The goalpost is constantly shifting, my friend. Do not expect a final answer from these guys the way they play the game. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with Laura Reese, heritage expert, Homeland Security, and what's going on at the border. I told you a moment ago that we have more evidence of terrorists coming across, and of course we had to worry about COVID. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rottler, Rottler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Rottler, family owned and operated for 3 generations. If you never used Rottler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rottler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rottler, 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, Rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions.
Wobble, wobble, roll a stone. My son, wherever he lays, happy was his home.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest, we've had on before and always glad to have her, an expert on Homeland Security with the Heritage Foundation, working at the Department of Homeland Security, Management, Immigration Policy, Operations Issues, most recently the Acting Deputy Chief of Staff in the private sector's home security industry strategist as well. And now, as I said, also with the Heritage Foundation. Laura Reese, glad to have you back on board with us.
Larry, thanks for having me.
Now, I want to go through several things. You have a piece that you and a colleague put together referencing massive new numbers showing Biden's policies driving the crisis. And you use the word crisis. You know they're not using that word, Laura. I don't know where you came up with that.
Yeah, they don't want to admit it, although tacitly they are when they then blame the last guy and then appoint the vice president to be the border czar, although she still is missing in action, I must say.
All right, well, we're going to go through the details of it, but I'm also going to caution you because we've already been told by AOC can't use the word surge either, so I don't want to hear you say surge. That's wrong. Okay?
Who can keep up with their word game?
You're right. Well, I do want to share with you, and I know you're aware of this. In fact, I talked about it just a moment ago. Another one of your colleagues at Heritage Foundation, Mike Holmes, a moment ago. Let me see if I can find it again. I had to hear from him. Give me one second. He put out a report that we have at this point already found, Mike Howell, I'm sorry, two men from Yemen that are on the terrorist watch list. Mike Howell said, these guys have been found at our border trying to come in. And how big of a threat is it for we have terrorists using this migration, this legal authorized by the left crossing our border without even being checked? What is the chance that we've got numerous terrorist cells already in the nation and more coming?
Well, it's a real risk. And when the border is open, this is what we face. So there's a Texas county sheriff who recently said that nationals from 49 countries have come across the border in his area. And we know that terrorists exploit large border migrations. We saw it during the Syria crisis back in 2014, 2015. So, you know, this is just two. I'm sure there are more. And God help us if down the road, you know, something blows up and it comes back to someone who crossed illegally because this president opened up the border.
And we should, and you're right, we shouldn't be surprised by this. And in fact, if you're thinking like a terrorist, these guys on a no-fly list, they know they can't get on a plane and come to the States, but if they can get Central America or Mexico at some point and join a caravan or join others and they just kind of blend in and get across, these two got caught. The question is, how many have not been caught?
Exactly right. It's kind of like the person who said, I've never done drugs before. I just got caught on my first time. It's just not credible.
Uh-huh. So your numbers show that Border Patrol agents apprehending a total of 35,000 illegals trying to enter the U.S. in Feb of 2020. And in March 2020 is around 33,000. But right now we're seeing something like growing by major bounds. I mean, what are the numbers now that I've heard that we could see, before this is all over, we could see 2 to 3 million coming across our border at this rate?
Yeah, in February of this year, it jumped to over 100,000. And for March, it looks like it's going to be over 171,000. So that number is higher than the highest number of 2019 when we had the last border crisis. The highest number in 2019 was 144,000. That was in May. And so by March, we're already hitting over 171,000. And there's no sign that this is slowing.
And you specifically blame the Biden administration and his first day in office, also the executive order. You're clearly saying things were different. And I will agree, but I'm going to let you state the case. They were different until he got in office, took the oath, and then took his presidential pen and put it to the paper.
Yes, and the way you can tell that is Trump did not have a border crisis in 2020. After facing the 2019 border crisis, President Trump implemented policies and programs to gain control over things, and that included the Remain in Mexico program,
right,
which told people, if you're coming here to apply for asylum, fine, but you're going to wait in Mexico. And that greatly reduced the numbers that came. And on top of that, he used U.S. leverage with Mexico and the Northern Triangle countries in Central America for the first time. We have a lot of leverage, but past presidents wouldn't use it. He did, and got them to agree to enforce their own respective borders and build up their own asylum systems and take back nationals who traversed their country but didn't seek asylum until they got to the U.S.
Well, Biden thinks he's got a good way out for himself anyway. He calls Kamala Harris in, the VP, and tells everybody she is going to now be our point person on immigration control. She's going to deal with the Northern Triangle in Mexico and try to get them to get together and stop these caravans. The damn same thing that Trump did. But Kamala has yet to do anything to go down to the border. And in fact, in 13 plus days since then, she has not held a news conference on it. What is she doing? What are you seeing from your view as a expert on Homeland Security?
We're not seeing anything. I mean, they're not holding task force meetings in the administration and bringing the cameras in to ask questions or to give information or updates. She hasn't gone to the border. She laughed off the idea of when she was going to go to the border.
Right.
It's a complete lack of leadership, and it just continues the chaos that they have been implementing since they arrived on January 20th.
Well, I really would have liked to have been a fly on the wall after Biden said, I'm going to appoint her, and she's all here and, assume smiling behind the mask because she's always wearing the mask, even though she'd been vaccinated. But when she got with her staff, I would have loved to have been in that room and hear her blow up that G.D. Biden, look what he dumped on me. He knows it can't be solved, and he started it, and I'm stuck with it.
Well, and she's no fan of law enforcement, whether police departments across the country or immigration and customs enforcement, which she has compared to the KKK. So I just suspect that for this group, this administration, this is not a enforcement issue for them. This is a logistics issue for them. And they just want the media and the PR headache to go away and so that they can more quickly process people into the U.S. And they view this as a source of power for future votes.
So the other thing about all these coming across, in addition to being terrorists, the COVID numbers coming across that are either they're not being checked or if they are checked, they don't hold them. They just let them go on their way. Dr. Fauci questioned about that the other day by Senator Graham saying, Dr. Fauci, you need to come down the border and see that. You need to see what's happening. This is a super spreader. And Dr. Fauci, the chief medical advisor to the president, says, not my job. I'm not my job to go to the border.
Yes, he's selective about when he is concerned with travelers from other countries coming into the U.S. with COVID.
Or a baseball game.
Right. And, I mean, every aspect by this administration puts Americans last. And the fact that we are still in this pandemic and that this administration is still keeping schools closed and businesses shut down and people wearing masks after they've been vaccinated, while illegal immigrants can come in and either not test them or they're positive and still allow them in, it puts Americans absolutely last. The priorities are backwards. And I would love to know, watching the cases, if any cases go up in states, COVID cases, hospitalizations.
Right.
Where those people came from, is anyone going to ask them?
I'll bet not, and here's why. Because the left had already said, because Governor Abbott had issued a rule a couple weeks ago, mandate, you no longer are under a mandate to wear a mask in Texas. You don't have to. The Florida governor did the same. And I know the left was saying, you watch the cases spike. They'll just blow up. And I said, if they do, it's going to be because the illegals came in. Now, the person that might actually be hospitalized with COVID might be a Texas resident, but at some point they came in touch with one of the illegals, and that's how they got it, and then they passed it on.
Right. Yeah. They're very selective and inconsistent and hypocritical about all of this, and it's the American citizens and lawful immigrants who, abided by our laws that suffer for it.
And again, you're listening to Laura Reese, heritage expert on Homeland Security. Also, one of your other colleagues at Heritage, James J. Carafano, put up a piece a moment ago saying, took 10 minutes for my guys to find human smuggler ads on Facebook advertising sell services to illegally enter the U.S. We know the coyotes are doing this on a constant basis. Now they're going to Facebook. Why? Facebook isn't shutting it down. Another issue. And we know that they are sometimes kidnapping kids so they can bring them across and claim it's their child. We know the drugs are coming through. In other words, Biden is now the chief drug smuggler in the nation.
Yeah, and the kids issue is really horrific. And this administration needs to stop saying that if unaccompanied children come to the border, we will let them in.
Right.
Because it is just enriching the smugglers and the traffickers. And they are the worst of the worst people.
And the concern for the kids in the last 20 seconds of concern for kids has just kind of dropped because it fits their narrative to have no borders.
Yep, that's right.
All right. Laura Reese, I want to thank you very much for your time. We'll do it again, and I appreciate you helping us stay on top of this.
Thanks for having me on, Larry.
You bet. Laura Reese, Center for Homeland Security at the Heritage Foundation. In a moment, we're going to come back. This interview that CBS did the other day, painting Governor DeSantis in a really bad light, even conservatives are saying that's wrong. That story's still to come. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
That is one of my favorite songs, of course, about LaGrange, the chicken ranch in Texas, the best little whorehouse in Texas, as it was known. And I, while I was in Texas doing investigative reports, TV station, we did an extensive piece on that place. You can find it. It's available, I'm sure, somewhere on YouTube, Texas Monthly. So CBS 60 Minutes the other day did an interview and a hit piece, really, on Florida Governor DeSantis, talking about that he gave, the Republican governor, gave the Publix grocery store chain preferable treatment to offer the coronavirus vaccine based on donations to his PAC, his Political Action Committee. DePaul University and professor and media critic Jeffrey McCall says CBS clearly made mistakes in professional journalistic judgment in the execution of the story. There are kinds of mistakes that necessarily happen when enterprise reporting is done with bias and on the basis of pushing a preconceived political narrative. He said, now that holes in this report have been clearly exposed, CBS should feel compelled to publicly acknowledge its mistakes. CBS should provide a transparent explanation as to how such a story went through the many levels of the editorial process without anybody in the CBS hierarchy noticing the piece was severely flawed. To get a story on 60 Minutes, the way it used to be, those pieces were vetted repeatedly, even to the point where Mike Wallace and Morley Safert sometimes get upset. You get off my back. I know what I'm doing. I've done it right. But at that time, it was a different approach. We're going to make sure. We're going to maintain and protect the credibility of CBS 60 Minutes. Not so much anymore. The Palm Beach County Mayor, David Koerner, who's a Democrat, said 60 Minutes is guilty of intentionally false reporting. This is the mayor, a Democrat in Palm Beach County, said the reporting was not just based on bad information, it was intentionally false. He said, I know this because I offered to provide my insight into the Palm Beach County's vaccination efforts, and 60 Minutes declined. Declined. They note the governor came to Palm Beach County and met with me and the county administrator, and we asked to expand the state's partnership with Publix to Palm Beach County. 60 Minutes should be ashamed. Well, of course, CBS News is downplaying the statement from the Palm Beach governor, mayor, I should say. And they then also quickly brought up a tweet that apparently was sent by a Palm Beach County commissioner who was disputing what the Democrat mayor just told you. So I don't know how much politics is in that. But are we going to see CBS do a correction, do it right? What we have here is DeSantis, the state-controlled media now, not the mainstream, I'm saying state-controlled media, fear DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, for the 2024 presidential election, or for that matter, any rising Republican. So they're not going to bother. They're just not going to do anything about it. They're going to let it play. It's been challenged on several points, and they just ignore. I would think that Mike Wallace is rolling over in his grave right now. The last time they had absolutely gone overboard on that, if you recall, led to the firing of Dan Rather at CBS, where they were trying at that time to do a hatchet job on Bush. Remember that? And they went with just faulty information, did not document and back it up as they normally do on CBS 60 Minutes. And then you go to the cable news, CNN, NNN, and you got Brian Stelter with his show, Reliable Sources. I almost gag in my mouth every time I hear Reliable Sources, because there's nothing reliable about his program. And so his program Sunday, he gave a lot of attention to Hunter Biden's new book, Beautiful Things. He didn't really get into the Hunter laptop issue other than immediately put it aside. What he did say is, I'll tell you what, I've read a lot of memoirs. I've never read a memoir like this one before. He said it's breathtaking, extraordinary, honesty. Reference the author's confessed addiction to crack cocaine and alcohol. Okay, so that's it. And he goes on to say, it's extraordinary. You know, we've heard about Hunter Biden all the years on all the tabloid coverage. You think you know his story, but here it is, a book about addiction. How many times he could have died. It's breathtaking. But he's not really giving any attention to the laptop issue. Stelter and CNN, the rest of them. All of them looked away, as did Facebook and the other IT giants when New York Post first came out with a story. And the only thing that Hunter has said reference at is, well, it might have been my laptop. I don't know. I don't remember. The store owner said that was him who came in. It's got a Biden sticker on it, some other stuff. And then on it, it's got his material. But, again, his approach is, well, I don't remember. Well, of course, if you're in a deep enough drug-induced or alcohol-induced fog, you wouldn't remember. And I'm sorry the guy went through that. But again, Brian Stelter, Reliable Sources, give me a break. Coming up, you don't miss a second hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.